This episode of the Scottish Watches podcast is brought to you in association with Zero West Watches and their brand new H1 Hurricane. Listen out later in the show to find out all about this new release and what the guys have been up to since we last had them on our show. Welcome to the Scottish Watches podcast. We have a special guest today, and it's not the usual special guest when we have someone from 10 and 2. We have got the other side of the dynamic duo. We have Kat. And how are things going with you over in Tennessee today?
Hey, Ricky. I am doing well. It's nice and early here. And, you know, my allergies are in full swing, so I apologize if I sound a little nasally today. But other than that, I'm doing great.
Excellent. And what's the weather like over there? It looks kind of quite sunny.
It is.
From what I can see.
Yeah, it's super sunny. We're in full spring mode here. So it's either very sunny or we're in terrible thunderstorm tornado weather. It's either one or the other and never a mixture or never like the in between. So it's been fun the last few days.
Well, I was watching something. Here we go. Straight away, we're not talking about watches, but I was watching a video on YouTube, and it's on one of those History Channel type things. Not the History Channel, but a YouTube channel. And they go through different years. So I watched all the ones from the 80s, and then they had 1990. And they were talking about these absolutely crazy tornadoes that happened in Nashville and Tennessee back then. And it showed you, it was like Twister the movie.
Yeah,
is that how bad it is over there?
Lately, yeah. The last few years, we've gotten hit pretty bad. We've had some flooding the other day too, and it's scary. Last year, you know, we had a major tornado come through, and like,
yeah,
I mean, within a mile of my house, and I mean, I had debris in my yard, and I feel like I got a little.
Did you get any free trampolines?
No. Fortunately, no trampolines, but I think everyone's just on edge now, and which is, it's warranted. So when we have these just thunderstorms, people freak out a little bit. I freak out a little bit, to be honest with you. So, but luckily, no damage, and we're good for now. Knock on wood, no more tornadoes.
Yeah, well, having spoken to Catelyn for a number of years, I've heard all the crazy shit that happens nearby.
Yeah.
So
it's scary. Yeah. Sort of, you guys don't have tornadoes there, do you?
No, we don't have tornadoes. Don't have earthquakes. Don't have tornadoes. Don't have anything like that. But is Nashville known for this kind of stuff? Because what always sort of, whenever there was a news cycle here in the UK and it would tell us about something in America, I don't know if it's California that gets a lot of earthquakes.
Yeah.
So California gets earthquakes and everybody freaks out and panics because California has earthquakes. But surely when you're moving to California, you know this is going to happen.
You know it's a risk. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And then everyone looks so absolutely blindsided by the fact that it does happen. So,
yeah.
No, we don't get anything like that over here. We just get rain all the time. But it is sunny today. And obviously, we've got you on the show. And I feel as if we're going to find out more about Kat today than we ever have done before, especially in the Hotix episodes, because Rick isn't here. And Rick loves the sound of his own voice so much. You never get a chance. We always used to say you never get a chance to actually speak and flourish. There would just be the occasional sentence dropped in every so often.
Yeah.
So let's start as we mean to go on and talk about some watches.
Awesome.
And you can tell us what you're wearing on the wrist today.
Ooh, I'm excited about this one. So I'm actually wearing my new Rolex Submariner. Just picked it up last week. Yeah. And I love it. I'm so in love with it. I got to try on the new Submariners like 6 or 7 months ago and immediately put my name on the list. I wanted one. And like luck would have it, they called me. So I went to pick it up last week, and yeah, it's boring. Don't get me wrong. It's a boring watch, but I love it.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
I never knew this.
You didn't know I got one?
Obviously.
Aww. Are you not on Instagram now?
I am on Instagram. Problem we have with our Instagram is we follow about 7,000 pages. We've got, I think we're the same as you, around about nearly 14,000 followers. So there's so much going on. And every time I go on, if Rick's been on the account earlier in the day, he'll have seen stuff. I won't see it. And it's difficult. I don't even see half the stuff Adrian does.
Oh,
I don't
man.
See the stuff Floatlight does. It's trying to keep a tag on everybody. It's impossible.
It's so hard.
So tell us the story then. Did you like the previous sub? Did you have an interest in it? Or is this something quite new? Because there doesn't seem to be that much of a difference between the two of them.
No, there's not a major difference, to be honest with you. I'm not going to lie and say, oh my gosh, this one's so much better. It's really not that much different. But I do find that it wears better on my wrists. Just for the aesthetics alone, just it doesn't look as big and bulky as the maxi case does. To be honest, like I when I first got in this hobby, I didn't like Rolex, and I definitely did not like the sub. I just thought it was a boring watch. There's nothing special about it. And it wasn't until we've had, you know, watch meetups where I've got to try them on, I'm like, you know, there's kind of something about this. And I don't know. When I went to try on one of the new ones, something just kind of clicked. And maybe I'm more into, well, I know I'm more into the bigger size divers now anyway, but yeah, I fell in love with it and I wanted one. I got the no date. So I wanted that clean aesthetic on the watch and I've got the date just now. So I really didn't need the date, but yeah, it's great. It's fantastic. A lot of competition out here for this price point. You know, I was also looking at the Glashütte, the CQ, which I adore that watch, but I like the big date version and it's enormous and I just can't pull it off. But this is good. This is nice. And it's just, I mean, the quality, the bracelet, the clasp, people love to hate on Rolex, but they do it well. They really do it well.
100% agree. There's nothing quite like the fit and the finish. I've tried on Grand Seiko and all kinds. I don't think there's been another bracelet watch that has just got that elegant factor. The way that it doesn't jangle around. Even, I mean, my Batman's now 4 years old and there's no droop in the bracelet whatsoever. It's still as tight as the day I got it almost and nothing else. I mean, watches, £30,000-£40,000 or dollars that I've tried on in other places. No, nothing quite touches it. They might be a little bit boring, like you say, but they work. They're a workhorse.
Exactly.
You know, you can beat them up. You don't have to service them. They recommend 10-year servicing on them.
Yeah.
5-year warranty. And having spoken with watchmakers, some of these guys are seeing watches that haven't been touched since the 90s coming in and are still running fine.
I know.
So absolute bulletproof workhorses.
Yeah.
So what other Rolexes have you got then? You mentioned Datejust as well.
Yeah, just the Datejust. I'm not rolling in Rollies in my house. But yeah, I got the Datejust for my birthday. And who would have ever thought I would have two Rolex watches? When I got in this hobby, I kind of despised the brand a little bit just because of the celebrity factor of the watch brand. And kind of look down upon them, as many do, and rightfully so. But yes, I've come around. I've come around big time. And I've got the Seamaster still in my collection, and I think I'm gonna keep it. You know, it's similar to the Sub, but it's so different. It wears different. It looks different. And I've got the white dial for those that don't know. But I think they're really complementary to each other. So I think I'm gonna keep both in the collection. I say that, you know. I probably changed my mind in like a month. So
I think I'm kind of the same as you. I've got one Rolex, which is the first watch, not the first watch I ever bought, but the first one out of
the
ones I've bought that I've retained. Yeah. I've got one Tudor and I've got one Omega as well. And then it kind of just goes off into the wilderness of Seiko, Oris, and all the other brands that we speak of every week on both our shows.
Yeah.
Because there's just so much out there. And I've said recently as well, the fact that we get watches in on a regular basis, it scratches that itch of having to go out there and buy new stuff all the time.
Yeah, it absolutely does. What Tudor do you have, by the way?
It's the Tudor Black Shield Fast Rider. It's the ceramic date with the Ducati markings on it.
Is it like, it's got like the red accents?
Yeah, that's the one.
Perfect. Oh, that's awesome. I haven't seen very much of that watch, actually.
No, most people hate it. It's a very Marmite watch where most people generally hate it. Very few like it, and the ones that do really like it. And it just stuck out to me. I thought it was the second watch that I went for. I tried one on and didn't go for it at the time. And then the dealership that I got my Batman from, they just so happened to have one of these in the window.
Oh, wow.
And when I bought the Batman, the girl was quite sort of, oh, you're in the mood for buying things. Is there anything else we can tempt you with? And I said, oh, I've been looking at this sort of Tudor thing. You know, it's quite nice. It's a bit different. I was brand new to the hobby. And she said, oh, I think we've got one in the window. And I thought, no chance, because it's not one that most people would hold. So we went to the window. Sure enough, there it was. It was on the leather strap, which is the one I wanted, not the rubber. Got to try it on, and she tried for the sale there and then, and nearly got it because they were closing down the Tudor dealership at this Rolex AD.
Oh.
So I was going to get it for half price. They were basically doing it for cost. But this was, I just bought the Batman, and in my head I said, yeah, I could afford it because it was half price. I could. But that would be like buying two new cars in the one day. You wouldn't get the benefit of both of them, and it would be a shame. So I said, listen, I'll take the Batman just now. I'm going to my first ever Basel World in a couple of days' time. So let me take the Batman back to Switzerland, enjoy the show, get on with all that kind of stuff there. And then when I come back, I'll have a think about it.
Yeah.
And when I came back, I had a think about it, and I actually emailed in and said, right, okay, could be interested. Is there any movement on the price? And they reduced the price even further.
Oh my gosh.
So, yeah. Not only did I get the Batman. Yeah, total. Not only did I get the Batman when I wasn't actually on a waiting list for it, when they'd put me on by accident, but also got the Tudor at less than half price. So set me up pretty well.
Yeah.
And that was exactly 4 years ago to the day that we're recording this.
No way.
Because I'm starting to get all the reminders through from Facebook and Instagram.
Oh, okay.
Do you remember 4 years ago this happened? And wow.
Thank God for Facebook, yeah, right? News.
Yeah.
Whether you want to remember a moment or not, it shows you.
Well, I delete all the memories that I don't want to remember, so I never get anything horrible thrown up in my face.
Yeah.
So that's good.
Well, cool. What are you wearing on the wrist today? I'm going to ask you.
Oh my God.
I know.
I was about to just jump in and tell you anyway. Right. Well, today, it's been a busy day here. We're getting so many watches sent through. I've got no idea when this episode's going to air because we've got about 6 recorded already, interviews with different people.
Oh my gosh.
Excluding the ones of me and Rick, excluding the ones of me and Dave. So the one that I've got on the wrist today is the Elliot Brown Holton. And I tried to post this on Instagram. And it auto-corrected it to Hilton, and I didn't notice until the brand messaged me and said, any chance you can put the correct name in that?
Oh.
Yeah, no bother at all. So this one here, it is quartz. Don't let that put you off. It is really well put together. It's got one of the best straps, one of the best rubber straps that I've actually ever seen. Many reasons for that. Not only is it contoured to the watch, but the tongue at the end, it clips through the keepers, and it's got a lip that holds on. So it never wants to break free. Whereas you know what it's like when you're a rubber strap, it will eventually work its way out.
Yeah.
This one won't. It's an absolute pain in the arse to try and get it off. So if someone's trying to steal this or you're catching on something, it's going to stay. But really nice. It's got the broad arrow on it because this is officially recognised. And I believe they produced it in collaboration with the MOD here in the UK.
Oh, wow.
There's a very interesting history with that company. But I'm not going to go too far into it because I need to double check. We can tell people about a few things.
Yeah.
That's going to make that an interesting story.
Always important.
Yeah, that's what I'm wearing today. Always important to double check these things. Heavy little watch.
It PVD looks like
coated.
It.
It's solid. The bezel action on it.
Yeah.
It's very crisp.
What do you call it? Like a coin edge or like a gnarled bezel?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
Yeah, I love that.
It's a coin edge. They made a bit of a song and dance about the type of knurling they've used on it. So it's easier to use if you're wearing gloves because this is supplied to the army, I believe, here in the UK as an option. But no, really nice. The lume on it is incredible. Had it outside. Lumed bezel, lumed dial, massive lumed hands.
Nice.
So really nice. And it comes with a tool in the little box that is different from any tool I've seen before. It's to remove the straps because it comes with a NATO as well, but it's got an almost Allen hex head on it. It's not a normal screwdriver. So yeah, very well put together. Ecological packaging, which arrived very nicely put together, and it's got a little watch box that comes with as well where all the stuff goes in. And for the price, this is in your Victorinox, Luminox range.
Okay.
But it's slightly different. We've got a couple of these in to check out. So this is the first one.
Yeah, I like that green.
So there we go. Yeah, it's something a bit different. I'm not a big green person. I know you are.
Yeah.
I know you are. It'll probably remind you of a Tudor that you maybe once had or still have.
No.
The reason you're here, as I said, is because we always have Catelyn on, mainly because me and Catelyn have known each other for many years.
Yeah.
And we've only known each other for just over a year and a bit, almost 2 years now for when the anniversary of your podcast is coming on. But I wanted to find out more about you on your own without the dynamic duo sitting on the couch, which is looking really good. You've got a new, I don't know, what you call this, a recording studio set up now in your new place?
It is a new studio. Yep. I've just moved into a new house. So I kind of took over the bonus room. I don't know if you guys have rooms in the houses there that are just kind of a free for all, you know, whether a lot of people use them as
spare bedrooms. That's what we call them.
Okay. Well, this is much bigger than a normal bedroom, but got my office set up. I've got a photography studio on one side, and then this whole side of the room is all for recording. And my husband built these awesome sound panels. I'll have to show you after we record that are hanging up on the wall. But yeah, very excited. We're going to do some cool new stuff soon. So yeah, we've got a really nice couch that we get to lay out on now and record and sit back and relax. So it's super nice. But well, speaking of Catelyn, what's kind of funny is that, you know, obviously she's been on your show a million times, but before I started our podcast, I didn't know Catelyn that well. I knew her from Instagram. And so I would listen to her on your show because I was a listener of you guys.
And that never put you off.
No. Fortunately, it did not.
She's such a potty mouth when she's on our show.
No, she was wonderful. And I thought she was funny and I thought she had a great personality. And yeah, that kind of pushed me to really get her to join our podcast and to start it up. And I don't even know how long you guys were on, because you've been doing this longer than we have. When did you guys officially start?
I think we've got about 6 months on you guys. So okay. We started officially the 11th of January, 2019.
Okay. Yeah. Well, yeah.
And you were sort of July, August time, I think?
July. Yeah. End of July.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. I was a total listener in the beginning and from her, because I followed her on Instagram and I would see her post her stories and stuff that she was on your show. And I did a little test run with her. She didn't even know about.
Yeah. You met up in a coffee shop or something. So give us the whole introductory from your side. How did it all kick off? How did you approach her?
Okay, so I was a follower on Instagram, and you know, at the time, Catlin's Instagram was a little different. It was a lot of personal and a little bit of watches, and it's a little different now, of course. But I think we all have to kind of either make a separate account or do a switch, because we annoy our family and friends with all these pictures of watches. But
100%.
So she had this account, and you know, I noticed she was in Nashville. I could count on one hand the amount of women that I was following at the time, because there just really wasn't a lot. Thankfully, now that is not the case. But so Catlin just stood out to me. And, you know, I was kind of toggling in my head if I wanted to do a YouTube channel. Did I want to do a podcast? Did I want to do a blog? You know, I freaking hate writing. I'm the worst writer. It takes me forever. So I kind of immediately knocked that out. And then I did a test video, which, Lord, I hope it never gets out. I think I deleted it, but I did a test video for YouTube, and I just cannot stand watching myself. And I know a lot of people say that, but it's true. Like, I hate it, as I know we're about to start recording our podcast. I knocked that idea. I just didn't like being by myself. There's a lot of pressure. I don't know how Adrian does it, to be honest with you. There's a lot of pressure when you're by yourself. And I wanted a partner, and I wanted something that was a little bit easier for us to do. And so I thought about doing a podcast, and I had no idea who was going to be my co-host. I love the idea of doing it with another woman, but again, like, there just really wasn't that many that I was following at the time. And so I thought, oh, I'll do this with another dude that's here in Nashville that is a friend of mine, and we can kind of do that. And then again, I just started paying attention more to Catlin. I saw that she was on your show, and the idea just like started rolling from there. I met up with her at a Nashville Watch Club meeting here in Nashville and immediately hit it off. We were the only two women there, but still, like, we just immediately clicked. And asked her to, didn't say anything then, just wanted to meet her, wanted to hang out with her, see how we vibed. And then we instantly got off, and then asked her for coffee, and then told her about the plan to start a podcast, and she was in, like, without hesitation. It's kind of scary, actually. Excellent. That she said yes so fast.
Did she even think of doing one herself, maybe? Because
she might have.
On the show, she really got into the groove quickly. Some people are really scared of the microphone, but she wasn't.
No, not at all. She's a great talker. She's got a fantastic personality. And now I could not imagine doing it with anybody else.
No, that's good. There's a lot of, let me not piss off too many people with what I'm about to say. There's a lot of organizations that like to take people and push them together to do things.
Yeah.
We've seen more on the video side. We've seen people taking women that are in the watch industry and throwing them together and trying to get a show out of it. And it doesn't work, which is why our Time of the Week show, where you've got the two Sams and Lucy, because they're all friends and they're all talking and they're doing stuff, and then they decided to do this on their own, that's when things work. But when you try and force it, that doesn't. And to capture that lightning in a bottle, that you don't usually find that. It's almost like magnetism.
It is.
You attract people that work well with you, and then good stuff comes of it, and you don't have to try at it. You don't have to rehearse. When me and Rick first started out, he thought we were going to have to script everything we said.
Oh my gosh.
Could you imagine scripting an hour's worth and then having to go through it all and not muck up? I can hardly read people's emails live on the show without screwing it up. So no, it's good. And then you guys were trying to decide on a name. Rick came up with a horrible name that somebody later stole from an Instagram account.
Yeah.
It's been entertaining. So what's your history then? That's the history of 10 and 2 and how you got to episode 1. But your history with watches, things like that, where did all your collecting fascination come from? Was it when you were a child? Was it later on in life? Or has it just been throughout?
Yeah, I wish I had the cool, you know, I had a watch when I was a kid and it really sparked, you know, a lot of interest. And I
need that if you're starting a watch brand.
Oh, okay. I'll remember that. I'll write that down. Yeah, I had watches as a kid, but I never really was super nerdy about them. I will say that it was probably 4 or 5 years ago when I really got into watches. Several reasons. One, in the big one really was that I was wearing, you know, these fitness watches, Fitbits. And I think that you actually had, I had a Pebble, and I've heard you talk about a Pebble before. For those that don't know, it's kind of like an off-brand Fitbit, but actually it was 10 times better than the Fitbit, I thought. And it looked like a watch too.
Yeah, it was the first ever modern smartwatch.
Oh.
And it used a kind of hack to work with iOS, I think. It was way back, iOS 7 or 8 or something like that. So I got my first one around about 2011.
Yeah.
And it barely worked. If it lost Bluetooth connection, it was screwed. And then I got the steel version of the Pebble. But funnily enough, Fitbit actually bought Pebble's intellectual property.
I saw that. And I'm glad because there was things I liked about Fitbit and there was things I liked about Pebble. But I'm glad that the two have kind of merged, because I'm sure the technology that Pebble had, as far as like the display go and the battery power, was like super long on it too. But anyway, I was just flying through these Fitbits, and you know, I was working out a lot. They get sweaty, nasty, like they start falling apart. It's disgusting. And I was just like, I just want an actual watch. I'm tired of these fitness watches. So the search kind of began. And then around the same time, Valentine's Day was coming up, and I was trying to think of a gift for my husband. And I guess I kind of cheated, because I was like, well, I'll get a watch, and then I'll have an excuse to spend more money because I'll get him a watch too. So I thought about getting us a couple watches, and the search began. Somehow I ended up on Watch You Seek. I don't know how, just in doing research for, I guess, watches that, you know, couples could either wear or wear together, or, you know, what matched each other. I didn't know anything at the time. I didn't know what a Seiko diver was. And down the rabbit hole I went, and loved every second of it. And I mean, we talk about the bug just like biting you, and it happens so fast. And that's exactly what happened. And ended up getting myself an SKX 013, which was the smaller of the divers, and then I think a 38 millimeter. And then I bought my husband like this is gonna be hard for me to remember the reference number, SNG or SN, I don't know, these Seiko numbers are hard to remember, SN G's something something. It's like a field watch. They're like $80 on Amazon. We had these Seiko divers for Valentine's Day, and I wore the Seiko. I liked the Seiko, and I immediately wanted another watch. I don't know why. I don't know, you know, who thinks about like, ooh, maybe I should buy something else. I think it was the searching. You know, I love that. I love searching for the watch. And I spent months searching for this. And I was already kind of into the forums now, and I was looking at other watches. And as soon as I bought it, I was immediately thinking about my next purchase. And that's kind of how it all started. And yeah, I just kind of went immediately down the rabbit hole. A few months later, I was buying an Omega Seamaster. And it was crazy. Really, really crazy.
So when was this? What year was this?
This was probably 2017, maybe 2016, 17, somewhere around there.
Right. And around about the same time.
Yeah. I bought the Omega Seamaster with the electric blue dial. It was like a 38 millimeter midsize diver. They had a similar one that was kind of referenced to Jacques Cousteau, but this was not that one. It was just a regular model that they had produced, and I loved it. And it had a polished stainless steel bezel, and it was my first kind of luxury watch. And man, I love that thing, and I wore it forever. And at the time, wasn't a flipper, wasn't really going through watches. And I don't know, something happened along the way, and I got into a real hardcore flipping phase for a while, as I know a lot of people do. It's I feel like it's an addiction, and I've told other people this. I think it really, maybe it's the hunt, maybe it's the excitement of getting the watch, the adrenaline that you get when you're waiting for it to come in. I don't know. I know you guys, you had a psychologist on your show, didn't you, not that long ago?
Yeah, we did. Cecilia.
Okay.
She was talking about the collecting bug, and I jumped straight in there because I wanted to know, because there's different types of collectors. There's the person that just collects, and then there's a person that collects to get to the end goal, like to complete the sticker collection or the stamp collection or whatever.
Yeah.
And it was interesting chatting to her about the different ways of thinking about it. And if it wasn't for what I'm doing with Scottish Watches and the fact that every day I'm getting an email from a company saying, would you like to try this watch or that watch? I would be exactly the same.
Yeah.
And if it wasn't for all this, I'd probably be climbing the walls because I used to get my fix by going into Glasgow or going across to Edinburgh, going to the Argyll Arcade and just walking through. And it was, oh, we were so spoiled because everything is in the one place. Within 40, 45 miles of each other,
oh my
gosh, could have everything from AP to Roger Dubuis to Jacob & Co. to Panerai, Patek, Rolex, Omega, right through to Zinn, Doxa, Meistersinger, Mulliger Schutter, everything within 40 miles. You could basically get your hands on everything.
That's crazy.
And then lockdown happened here. I know obviously in the States, the lockdown's been up and down and it's different for different areas of the country. But over here, we've practically had nothing at all we could do for nearly 4 months. So that little itch has been scratched thanks to, well, thanks to AliExpress, actually. And a couple of real shitters that I've bought that are on their way. This is Jody at Just One More Watch's fault. He always does these videos whenever AliExpress has got a sale an anniversary or something. And I've got, I'm not going to tell you what I've got because then it will spoil it. You'll see. I'll tell you and then I'll delete it.
Exactly. It's a total addiction. And like you, I think this podcast has really kept me in check. I don't know what's going to happen when this ends one day, but you know, I've really slowed down on the purchasing, and I think I've kind of come into my own a lot as a collector and knowing really now, you know, what I want, what I don't want. But yeah, these watches that come through.
So what is Kat's collection? Your own ones, not the ones that you've had in. What's your own collection look like just now?
Yeah, it's actually pretty small for the most part. So I have the Sub and I have the Datejust and I have a Monta SkyQuest, which is a GMT from Monta, and I have the Omega Seamaster. Let's see what else. I've got a G-Shock, I've got a Swatch, and I've got my Fears watch that me and Catelyn both received. Well, we bought them. He did not give them as a gift or anything, but we had them engraved on the case back for our 1 year anniversary of the podcast. So that's kind of a memento watch for me. I don't wear it a lot, but I do love it. It's a great watch. It's the Redcliffe in white, and I do really love it. But I unfortunately I don't want to wear it because I just don't want to scratch it up. It's so special to me. More special than you know. I take more care of that watch than I probably would any of these Rolexes that I have. But yeah, that's my collection. Like I said, it's fairly small nowadays. I used to have, I mean, I could count to you 15 watches that I would have sitting in my watch box, but I keep it pretty small. And I think I do that because we get so many watches and we do a lot of reviews, and I feel it's only fair to the brand that I actually wear these watches that they send in. So even if I wear theirs half the day, then I'll stick one of mine on the rest of the day. But just to give a fair review, I do try to wear all the watches we get in just for a little bit, a few hours every single day. But again, it keeps the want down, and sometimes it increases the want depending on the watch we have in, especially from brands that I really admire. But I feel like every Oris we get, I want it. I want it.
You got the Cherry Oris in recently. What'd you think of that one?
Oh, man, it was very hard to photograph, first of all. But it was a fantastic watch. You know, nothing really special about it. You know, it fits in well with the Aquas lineup, and you know, it doesn't have the new movement in it or anything, and doesn't bother me any, to be honest. But the dial was just crazy. It's just so good. Have you guys had that one in yet?
No.
Not yet.
It was Hodinkee only at the start.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
And I think we got offered it, but I decided against it because I knew there was so much Aura stuff happening and we were going to have VJ on the show.
Yeah.
And I thought, we'll just get him to talk about it because he knows better than anybody.
Yeah, VJ's awesome. We certainly love him and love the brand. Like I said, that hand gang that you have, the green, I really wanted that one too. That's so awesome. I think every watch they do just seems to be a home run. And I make fun of them from time to time because I feel like they put a lot of limited editions out, but that's okay. I still love the brand and they're so good. How can I complain that like every watch they do is, like I said, a home run.
Yeah. I can't think of any of the watches they've put out that have not really, there was a Pro Pilot X a couple of years ago that I really didn't like because it was just too open. I hate green watches, which is really odd because obviously I've got a green watch on today. I hate them. Even the Hulk, I got offered to go on the waiting list for the Hulk years ago.
Uh-huh.
And I said no.
Oh,
because
man.
I've got no interest. But this Hangang, the way that it caught the light, I know it's just the same colors as a Hulk, but there's just something a little bit different about it.
Yeah, that sunburst that they do is just crazy good. And that's the same way on the Cherry. I found that sunburst style just, it's so dynamic and it looks different. You know, that green dial looks different when you're in a darker light versus when you go outside. It's super bright. And I find that I really am drawn to those type of watches, those dials for sure.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned dials there because on the line, we've actually got Andrew from Zero West, who tomorrow on Friday, the 9th of July, is releasing a brand new watch with a dial that I have never seen before. How are things, Andrew? And tell us all about this new watch.
Yeah, I'm doing really well, Ricky. I think I was last on your show October time, I think it was, which was great for us. So appreciate you having me back.
No problem at all. 3/4 of a year and it's gone in an instant. Can't believe we're more than halfway through 2021 already.
It's racing by. It's a bit scary, but, you know, I'm sure like many are just keeping busy, keeping our heads down, staying safe and, you know, looking forward to the restrictions lifting and being able to see more people, which is going to be great. Really excited.
It's flying along like an aircraft almost.
Yeah, very... Like some of our watches, yeah.
Like some of your watches. That's the reason that you're here today, because obviously a lot has happened in the last 3/4 of a year. We've been keeping in touch, but you've kept a low profile with the public because you guys don't like to tease stuff too early. You like to tease it just before it's launched so people can actually get it on the wrist instead of having to wait half a year. And today you're here to talk about a special watch. And what one is that?
Yeah, this is the new H1 Hurricane. We've been working on it for quite a long time, but like you say, it was really important for us to just make sure that we didn't promise anything too soon and that we were 100% happy with everything before we were really ready to tease it out. And we're launching that tomorrow, which is Friday the 9th. And we're really super excited to show people this. It's been on the drawing board for actually longer than the S4, which we sold out of. That was the watch that we spoke to you about when we were last on the show. And, yeah. You know, our fan base, as it were, or followers has grown enormously in the last 6 months. And, you know, I think they're ready for this watch and it's great. We're really, really excited.
All right. Well, how long does it take to come up with an idea and bring that to the wrist? What's the sort of time frame we're talking here?
I mean, this one we've been working on for about a year and a half, and it's not full time. But I think part of the reason why it takes so long is the backstory. All our watches are story based on a moment in time in history. This one is on the hardest day, which was the 18th of August, 1940. It was the hardest day of the Battle of Britain. It's an aviation watch. And for us, we do a lot of research into the dial and the plane. In this instance, it's a Hurricane. And the dogfight took place over the East Sussex coast above Foundry Island and Foulness Island. And, you know, to find out where the plane was built, to research the history of the pilot. And that takes a long time. And we work with a local historian. And we, you know, sometimes we draw a dead end. And I just think that a lot of our customers really appreciate that kind of whole backstory. They're not just buying a watch. It's the whole connection to history and the research that we do. And you can't always rush these things. So, yeah, that hand in hand with the manufacturing process and the design process, it's quite a lengthy journey, but worth it, hopefully.
Almost sounds like you're creating a testament to something that's happened that's of significance and importance that people need to remember. And instead of a plaque on a park bench somewhere, people can wear that on the wrist.
Yeah, I think that's definitely true. I think, you know, you want to tread a fine line. There's a lot of hollowness in some of the marketing that's out there, not just, I mean, you know, across all sorts of industries. And I think for us, it was just really important to be authentic with the research and the design of what we're doing. And because our brand name, Zero West, which is a coordinate, it's all about each dial has a date code and a latitude and longitude. And when you cross-reference those, they take you to a moment in history. And so that's really just the start of the journey. So it's very rewarding process for us.
People will have seen the image in our thumbnail because this is the lead watch of the week, obviously. And yeah, it's different from anything I have seen before. I'm not saying I've seen every watch that's ever been invented or created or designed and put out there, but the way the dial looks is obviously to emulate something in the cockpit of that plane itself. Can you give us a run through on the dial first? Because that's the most important part.
Yeah, for us, this dial is based on a slip turn indicator. And as far as we're aware, you know, lots of brands sometimes follow the dial route from an aviation plane. But as far as we're aware, this has never been done before. And the iconic parts with the L and the R, which are, if you check out our website, you'll be able to see the actual original dial that this dial design was extracted from. And it was just really important. It's quite different. And it was quite, well, we'd like to think iconic, and we're hoping that it will be quite, you know, quite a revolution in design from previous models that we've come across.
Has this been designed for Scottish listeners that don't know the difference between left and right?
Well, the pilot was Scottish, Alexander Girdwood, but no,
not intelligent.
Right, yeah, okay. Yeah, the Hurricane pilot was Scottish. So, yeah, it was. We followed his journey from flight school with two other Scottish pilots right down to their final squadron on the Battle of Britain.
So what made you decide on this particular design then out of all the different instrumentation clusters that were available?
I think we hadn't seen this one design before, and I think it was really important for us to design something that was, we're very design led, and it's quite an iconic dial from a graphic point of view. And I think that it was stand out, and it was one that is quite an important dial within the plane instrument architecture. And for us, it would be instant. Our cases are quite individual, and I think when you combine that with the dial design, I would believe it would really stand out. And then when you mix that in with the actual back of the watch as well, which is the melted down Merlin engine casing from that Hurricane P3708, it brings it all together, especially with the story.
So where did the bits of the plane come from? How did you manage to source that?
We've got great connections within the registered salvage experts. And part of the Hurricane Merlin engine had gone to a local museum. It had been dug up in the late 80s, early 90s. And it was always known that a hurricane had gone down in this farm. But over a period of time, the winds and the dirt had covered most of it. And it had been left there for quite a long time. And they managed to salvage a lot of the engine and a lot of the bodywork.
So back when the dogfight happened and it crashed, they just sort of left it there?
Yeah. Back in the day, there were so many planes that downed. They were just like left. They were just left where they crashed, as it were.
Wow, it's like a car crash. I'll just leave that at the side of the road. Done with that.
Yeah.
Next,
yeah, and everybody just drives around it or farms around it, and just kind of like, yeah, it wouldn't happen today.
No,
but yeah, we were very lucky. Actually, as the brand's becoming more recognised, we're finding that instead of us having to hunt out things, that people are coming to us. But it's finding the right. It's finding the right story. It's not just a story. It's finding the right one. And we do a lot of research.
Let's put listeners in the frame. You guys don't release like 20 different watches every year. You're very selective about what you do, and you cherry pick the best ideas and the best message to get out there. And yeah, I absolutely love this. This arrived a couple of days ago. I left the box until today so I could open it and have a look at it just before obviously we started to speak. And there was a whole load of things that jumped out at me compared to the previous models that you guys have released. And there's a couple of bits I asked you about there, and you didn't even remember they were unique. So even just the infill of the paint or the dye on the tip of the buckle itself, that's something new. And this new strap, I don't think I've seen this before.
No, this is a new rubber strap that Graham's been designing over the last 4 or 5 months. And we've had made locally at a company that does a lot of work for military. Graham's got a lot of contacts. That's his past background. And so that's a tapered strap from 22 down to 20. And the buckle is infilled with ink. It's laser engraved and ink filled in sandblasted matte silver. And it really gives it's slightly three-dimensional, the rubber strap. It's high-end Viton rubber. It's really soft, really. Everybody thinks that kind of, to a certain extent, rubber is rubber. And much as the handmade beautiful straps we make, the leather straps that Graham makes by hand for each watch, it's just really nice that with this model, it's just completely waterproof. You know, you can go swimming in it. You don't have to worry about the leather strap. So it adds another dimension and really sets off the case as well. So it's a welcome addition.
And I like the fact that you've got the logo as well up at the lug points, but it's not in your face. Some people have commented on, for instance, some of the Maurice Lacroix rubber straps that we've had in the past, that it's just a little bit too much. This here, because it's the same colour, it stands out only in certain lights.
Yeah, well, we with the leather straps that Graham makes, we embossed the Zero West logo at that point. So it's kind of our house style. And whilst we wanted to, when you've gone to that trouble to design your own rubber strap, you want to obviously brand it, but you obviously want it to be not in your face, as you say. So it was a subtlety and a follow-on in-house style. And I think it works really well. It picks up in the light as you kind of wrist roll.
Yeah. And on the back, it says Made in Britain.
Couldn't not.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah. So tell us about the engine then that's been obviously melted down, parts of it used in the back of this.
Yeah, we were really lucky. When we got hold of some pistons and some engine casing, and we worked with it locally with a custom motorcycle company called Foundry Motorcycles. And he's a super talented guy, and he kind of casts all his own engine parts for his cafe racer motorbikes. And he's a real history nut. And we were doing a photo shoot with him a while ago for one of our cafe racer watches. And we were talking to him about the project. He'd already worked on the S4 project when we melted down a bit of Spitfire engine. And he was right up for working on this project as well. So we spent the day with him sand casting and melting down the casing and one of the pistons. And it's a great process, and it allowed us to then mold them or smelt them into rods, and then they were wire cut into discs. And we decided on this case to leave them quite natural and raw, and they're fitted into the back of the watch with a crystal over the top that's reverse printed with a silhouette of the Hurricane plane. It's just kind of a nice piece of history and industrial engineering and design that's fitted into the back, kind of history on the wrist, I guess. And it's becoming a bit of a thing that we're known for. So yeah, it was exciting to work on, really was.
Well, you've answered the next couple of questions. I was going to say, how did you get it in there? How did you get the print on it? And why is it shiny?
Yeah, ahead of the game, yeah.
We're obviously releasing this show on the Thursday and you're launching on the Friday. So if people want to, you know, get a hold of it, is it going to be immediately available, or is it just buy it now, wait a couple of months? Are we going to be able to see people wearing this and on Instagram?
Pretty much immediately. One thing that I've always found frustrating is that when I've seen stuff advertised, I get so excited, and then I find out that it's not available for 3 or 4 months, and then there's a waiting list. We kind of like to do things, I guess, differently, or how I would want to do them, which is how we're presenting it. And on a lot of our watches, it's about four week build time. We've already pre-built some of these, and the fact that we don't have to hand make each strap to order as we do with the leather straps, there will be an option to upgrade. So that, yeah, they're almost available straight away. So it'd be great. Yeah.
Could you imagine any other industry where you're sitting down watching something on television and an advert pops up and you're like, oh, well, yeah, I could really do that new thing, whatever. And you go to buy it in the shops and you're like, yeah, come back in 6 months. Just wouldn't work with it.
just wouldn't happen.
It's insane. Yeah. The problem we hear from listeners all the time is something gets announced, they get interested in it, they see the photographs of it, they either go to buy it or express an interest, and they're told you're going to have to wait 3, 4, 5, 6 months. By the time it's available, new things have come out and the process starts again. So they're forever wanting something and waiting, forever wanting and waiting. It's just a big cycle. But I'm not glad you guys are on the ball when it comes to this. And what's the movement inside it for all the tech buffs that are listening?
It's the same movement we use in all our watches. It's an ETA 2824. It's been super reliable for us. We haven't had any problems with supply. We've been very lucky with our contacts in Switzerland on that, and we've got strong links with our source. And yeah, it's been great, super, super reliable, and it's something that we'll stay with for the foreseeable future.
Excellent. And you're using your special case on this one as well?
Yeah, this is we call it the Solo case. It's a revolver case. So it's made, it's a central cylindrical part that's got 8 flutes, vertical flutes, and it's got our DSL lugs on it. It's all our own unique design that Graham designed. It's been really, 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 really popular. It's quite unusual or important for us to design a watch that had its own identity. And we spent about 2 years when we were setting up, about 5 years ago, working on that at great lengths to, have our own sort of look and feel, which we've, continue to roll on.
It's your design DNA.
Exactly. Yeah. Which is hard. And it's hard in the watch world when it's as crowded as it is with so many great designs out there. So.
Well, you're not getting this one back immediately, because I'm going to be wearing it out and about, getting some Instagram shots and whatnot. And we should be having a fake real unboxing, because I've not actually taken all the parts out. So there will be some bits and bobs that can be genuine, but we're going to jump on Instagram the day after you hear this, the day it's launched on Friday, and we're going to do a live unboxing with you. That's pretty much everything to tell about the watch, apart from obviously it comes in the usual Zero West packaging, which is a genuine Pelican watch case. Comes with all the accoutrements you would expect. Nice cat. catalogue, nicely packaged. And obviously, if you're transporting your watch or somebody other brand's watch, it can go in this box if you're travelling around or whatever. There have been many people that heard our last episode that got in touch, really enjoyed listening to you and the story about how you guys came together to produce the watches, the designs, and like you said, you know, even making your own leather straps in-house. And subsequently, they've come back and said they bought watches, they've seen the watches in real life, and they are a firm favourite with our listeners. So if you like what you hear, you want to see what this looks like, but more than just the thumbnail, check our show notes. There will be links in there. And if people want to jump across and buy the watch immediately, what's the web address?
Zerowest.watch.
That's great. Well, listen, thanks very much. And well, before we go, you were going to tell people that you've got a new showroom that they can visit.
Ricky, this is so exciting. I wish you lived closer. If you're ever down our way, you've got to come and see us. So we spent a lot of lockdown over the last 3 or 4 months completely renovating our old boathouse. I mean, it is amazing. It's got reclaimed Spitfire lighting in the ceiling from Castle Bromley Spitfire Factory. We've got a Merlin Spitfire engine from a crash Spitfire in Northern France, Cafe Racer, and it's got beautiful custom-made bespoke wall unit with all the watches, with all the graphics in. And we've even got a little bar, amazing little bar. It's fantastic. And we had a couple of customers who would rather pick up their watch rather than us send them. They came down from Manchester a couple of weeks ago, and a 30-hour round trip because they got stuck in London, their train got cancelled, but they still said it was the best watch experience they ever had. So if anybody wants to come down and see it down on the south coast, they're more than welcome. It's a great place to see. Honestly, it's a real experience.
You can tell them which city it is.
Yeah, well, it's in Emsworth, just south of Chichester.
There we go. Perfect. So, yeah, well, you did say there was a bar. So all our Scottish listeners will be making a beeline down.
Yeah.
That's brilliant. Well, listen, it's great to chat. And yes, I think we will be, as in the Royal We, will be heading down south because I think I'm visiting a few different people that we've obviously spoken to over the last year with the restrictions being in place that we want to meet up in real life. So I'm going to try and do an English tour before I do the European tour. And I will definitely pop in and see you guys. So thanks for popping on the show. Thanks for telling everybody about it. And yeah, we'll be in touch soon.
All the best. Cheers.
Zero West is obviously one of the smaller boutique brands here in the UK. But Kat, what sort of brands have sort of been coming into your vision, apart from the big guys, your Rolex, your Tudor, your Omegas?
Quite a few. One that comes to mind that I've been thinking about a lot lately is Ferrer. We got watches. They were, I mean, supporters of the show early on. For some reason, they trusted me and Catelyn. They sent us some watches. And you know, having seen the watches they sent to us, you know, a year and a half ago, and seeing the watches they sent to us recently, there's a huge, massive difference in the quality. And, you know, I brought up some negatives in the beginning from a few of the pieces that we had in. And now, like, the quality that they're doing is just phenomenal. And we were lucky enough to have a couple of the new pieces. I hung out with the I think it's called a Bradfield Pilot Watch, and it's got the crazy loom on it, yellow and blue, bright colors. And I just fell in love with this watch. I've been thinking about it a lot lately.
So what was the problems that you'd seen with the earlier ones? How did they remedy it and move forward?
Yeah, I think it was, you know, we had, I'm not going to remember the name of the watch, but it was just a diver on a rubber strap. And, you know, I saw some little paint, you know, little things on the loom and things like that. Just the quality wise, when you're looking, you know, we have nice cameras and macro lenses and things that I would notice. You couldn't really see it from the naked eye, but things I just would notice up close. And then getting these new pieces in and taking those same kind of photos, I was like, wow, like just perfection. And from a independent micro brand, whatever you want to call it, it's good to see that they actually are paying attention to all those small details. And just honestly, the feel of the watch themselves, just a huge step up. So whether they've changed manufacturers, I don't know, but the quality certainly has changed and for the better. And I'm not saying that they weren't there, you know, a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, but they're making all the right steps now for sure.
They're moving in the right direction.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. So you've named them. Who else?
I think another brand that's been put on my radar is Astor and Banks, which is based out of Chicago here. Me and Catelyn were lucky enough to hang out with the Fortitude line, every single model. And again, just blown away with the quality of the watch, kind of like a, you know, essentially like an Aquaterra, super water resistant, screw down crown, has this fun, playful dials. I think Catelyn is actually on the list to on the list. They're sold out of the turquoise dial, and I think she's planning to pick one up because she loved it so much and liked it better than like the Rolex OP, that is kind of that Tiffany blue. But yeah, they're killing it. And again, just really surprised under that kind of $1,000 price point. I just don't think they can be beat. And nowadays, you know, I would have said in the past, like, oh yeah, go buy a Seiko for $500-$600. That's not the case anymore. I have so many other brands that I would recommend over Seiko, especially as Seiko is now climbing up the ladder as far as what they're charging for some of their watches. And I just don't think the value's there anymore, personally.
No, they need to watch, because they were the go-to choice for reliability. But mm-hmm. now you can get a Seiko Movement in other watches cheaper with better build quality elsewhere.
Yep. Absolutely.
But there's other brands that you guys talk about quite a bit. You've had on your Instagram, you've maybe had people on the show like Norcane,
oh, yeah.
Nodus. There's yeah. lots of brands like that.
Yeah, those guys are killing it too. Nodus they're friends of ours, and they're the designs and color choices that they do is unlike most other brands. And I think that's something you get from the smaller guys, is that they're not afraid to play with color. They're not afraid to do some crazy designs, because they've got nothing to lose, right? They've got to make a name for themselves. So I do love that. I love the boldness that you get from the smaller guys. Norcane, a little bit different with them. They're similar in my mind to Tudor or Tag. They're kind of at that price point, I would say, but they're different. They, I can't really say there's anything like wow special about them, but that's a good thing. I think they're the kind of watch that's going to make most people happy.
Solid and reliable.
Yep, absolutely. The designs are good. They're not doing anything really crazy, but at the same time, they're non-offensive. So then most people just like the look and aesthetics of the watch. But they're doing some really cool stuff. We've actually got an episode with Ben from Norcane coming up that we're really excited about. But
as if I didn't know that, and that's why I mentioned it.
Thank you for the nice plug. I always appreciate it. I'm sure I'm missing half a dozen watch brands. We've got a cool Vero that's in right now, a dive watch from them that I'm going to be shooting here in the next few days. But I've got a box of watches of just stuff we've got in. It gets overwhelming at times, but I find that I still love it. I still love the excitement of getting these watches in, checking them out, reviewing them, and just glad that brands kind of put their trust in us and send us stuff like this, because not all brands do. And sometimes you have to really fight for stuff, and then brands want you to talk about them on the show. But I know Catlin's the same way. We will not talk about you unless we've seen your watches. That is just I'm sorry. You guys are cool. You know, I know you've made a name for yourself, but until we can have a watch in our hand, we're just not going to really talk about you, because I never want to recommend a piece to someone that I haven't seen in the flesh myself. So, but luckily most of the brands are pretty cool. And we've been really lucky to get a lot of stuff in. As have you guys.
Yeah, I can only think of one brand that was a bit of a dick, and I won't name them, but they're from Germany, and they were being really, really funny about things, whereas everybody else, I mean, recently we had in a £40,000 Ulli Snurdin Blast.
Yeah.
Which has got a crazy front-mounted tourbillon and a micro rotor. And they just were like, yeah, we'll send it to you. No problem at all. And then we had the new limited edition Zenith Defy 21 Ultra Blue.
Yeah.
And we've had all these amazing watches that are not inexpensive pieces getting sent to us under our care and attention. And that's not to discount any of the more inexpensive or lower cost items, because one of the standouts for me last year was a brand you may have heard of called Zelos.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they sent us across something. I loved it. Didn't know the price of it. Told the story before. I thought it was around about £1,000. It was that good. And then I found out it was only £300, which is maybe about $400 or thereabouts. Uh-huh. Incredible value for me. So again, like you said, whenever a box arrives from somebody, I don't know who it's from, and it doesn't matter when I open it, if it's $100 or it's $50,000.
Yeah.
It's the excitement of seeing what people are able to do and the different looks of things, because not everything looks like a sub. Not everything looks like a Speedy. All these smaller independents, they don't have to stick to the norm because they're trying to chase these massive sales figures. And if they sell 50 of such and such, they love it.
Yeah.
And then they can change the dial color. Even moving up slightly to Doxa, what they've done in the last couple of years with their color variations and recently with their forged carbons, it's absolutely fantastic to see so much movement and away from the normal black dial.
Yep. 100% agree. Yeah, they're doing really well with that. And I think we're going to see more of that. I think we're going to see, the bigger brands, the more conservative brands kind of start to change a little bit and take a note from the smaller guys and see what's working.
100%. Look at the OPs that came out last year. You'd never have expected Rolex to drop M&M colored watches everywhere.
Yeah, like they look like the Easter eggs. I call them like the pastel, Easter eggs that we have here for Easter. I don't know if that's everywhere, but yeah, they certainly remind me of those.
I don't know when this episode's going to launch, so I'm not going to talk about another brand that's got some colored things coming out.
I know. I was gonna ask you that earlier because I was like, oh, I've seen a lot of cool stuff, but I don't know what we could talk about.
I know. And people say we don't stick to embargoes, but we really do.
I know.
But we love Oris, and thumbs up for Oris in the future. That's all I'm going to say. Yeah. How about the video side of things? Because you've done a couple of videos. You've teased videos and taken longer than I do to actually create videos. And then you were talking about doing the podcast on video. So what's the plans then?
Yeah, the plan is, we love doing the videos that we had produced. Back last year, we did the Norcane, and I think we did a Speedmaster in my Explorer 2 that I had. They're so much fun, and we got to go out, but they're very time consuming, as I'm sure that you know. And we are also limited now. Catlin's busy with her work. I'm busy with my work, and it's hard to spend a whole day going to shoot. And it would just take me forever to edit, to cut the B-roll. And so we thought, we still want to bring our personalities to YouTube. I know people really, really like seeing us. So kind of a middle ground we thought of was, maybe let's start filming the podcast. It wasn't really a go in the other studio because I didn't really have the space. I didn't have the space to set up cameras where we were sitting and stuff. We were in a really tight room. But now I'm in a huge bonus room. I've got plenty of space for cameras, plenty of space for lights around us. And that's the goal. And we'll hopefully start rolling that out. I mean, within the next month, we're already planning to start shooting pretty soon. So you can look forward to that on the 10 and 2 YouTube channel, which we upload our podcast to, but hasn't really had any video content in quite a while. So we're really excited about that. Expect to see, my lovely couch, and like I'll be in hoodies and sweaters, and I'm gonna pull off the Jenny L look because I told Catlin immediately, like, I'm not gonna be all prepped for this thing. They're gonna see us as is, or at least me. I'm really excited about doing it.
Good. And when's that gonna be?
That will be, I can't say a date yet, but within the month for sure.
Yes. Well, the videos that we did, not the podcast, because absolutely no way in hell would I ever do a live podcast on a weekly basis. They're hard enough to prepare ahead of time, not to drop anyone in the shit or say things that could get us sued. But when we did, again, before lockdown in the UK over a year ago, we did something called The Talk Show, which is quite similar to what you're talking about. It's a couple of couches set up, and we didn't do it between ourselves. We would do it with different brands, collectors, enthusiasts, things like that. And they went down very well. It was long form, about an hour each. Worked great. But then again, Joe Rogan, he's the most popular podcaster in the world. And the way he does things is desk, seat, two microphones, two people or more. And it works fantastically well for him. And it'll give you the chance to maybe show the watches that you're wearing instead of go to the show notes.
That's the goal. That's the hope. And I know you've given us some tips as far as camera work and stuff like that to make it work on camera. And we're really excited to try some of these things out. But yeah, I think people have asked for it long enough. We got to give the people what they want, right?
Totally. They're in charge. They're the ones that they're that quick at telling you when you do something wrong. As I said, probably at the start of this show, when I uploaded a wrist shot today and my phone auto-corrected the name of the watch from Holton to Hilton, I had a DM from somebody on our Instagram saying, I think you got the name of that watch wrong, within about a minute.
Oh, man.
So yeah, they're quick to tell you when you're doing something wrong, and also quite quick to tell you when you're doing something right.
Yeah.
So for the 10% of our listeners that don't know about 10 and 2 and don't already listen to you guys, hit us with it. Where can they go to find out more about you, and where can they hear you?
Oh, crap. This is like Catlin's part of the episode. I don't have this stuff memorized. No, you guys can go to www.10and2, T-E-N-N, and2.com. You can find find us on Instagram at 10 and 2 Media. I think we're on YouTube as just 10 and 2. And yeah, I think that that covers all the bases. We're on all the major streaming platforms like you guys are. So I think actually, if you type in Scottish Watches, we usually pop up like right next to you guys. So yep. Yeah, I think we've been on there enough that we're kind of buddies when we do the search.
Whenever you search for it, it comes up. If you search Scottish Watches, it says Scottish Watches, 10 and 2, and Bark and Jack. I wonder why they do that.
Huh, I wonder why.
Brilliant. Any closing thoughts?
No, thank you for having me on. It's been great. It was good to hang out with you solo. And I look forward to our Hotex chat. We haven't had one in like, I don't even know, like 6 or 7 months. So it'll be a long catch up, I have a feeling, but it'll be fun.
Thanks a lot for listening, guys. And we will catch you all soon.
All right, bye. We'll